Let church say amen.
Amen.
So you may not be able to sing like the angels. Right. You may not be able to preach like Paul, but nevertheless, we're going to praise Jesus.
Amen.
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 Don't praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our fifth Sunday, and I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. This is our family and friends day. We didn't mention, but thank the Lord for Sister Crosby. She got home from the hospital. Thank the Lord for working in that life.
Amen.
Glad to see one of our trustees back, Brother Caldwell. Glad to see him. Got another young man in the church that's rededicating his life. Brother Kevin Seals, would you stand up? Glad to have him today. He's coming all the way back to us from Memphis, Tennessee. I have a special calling on young men. I think if the young men would get right, our society would change. Amen? But this morning, I hate to say it, I'm preaching to the young girls. Nevertheless, this is what we're going to preach this morning. I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning. I am going to be representing the lawyer, the attorney. I'm going to present all the evidence to you this morning. But you, congregation, you will be the judge and the jury. So after I present all the evidence to you, then I need you to declare a verdict. And we're going to talk about it today. But I want you to repeat after me as we get into this message. In Acts 20:27, this is what Paul say. Declare unto us. Say that. Declare unto us. Let's try that again. Declare unto us.
Declare unto us.
All.
All.
The counsel of God.
Counsel of God.
Now what you just said was that I need to teach this whole book from Genesis to Revelation. I can't jump over controversial issues. I can't bypass this. I can't sugarcoat it. I can't water it down. I need to preach what thus said the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
There's a group called Berea in Acts 17:11. The Bible says they searched the scripture daily whether these things were so. So we're going to talk about today on some things that are changing in our culture. But I believe we need to go back to the old landmark. I grew up in the 60s. I grew up in the 70s, and my wife did too. But my daughters, and one of them is here today, she grew up in the 1900s and the 2000s. So we're going to look at the scriptures, and I'm going to present the evidence to you, and we're going to let the scriptures speak for themselves. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, that was a weak amen. Amen?
Amen.
Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2. When you get that, say amen. You should know your Bible. First Timothy is in the New Testament. All the T's are together. First and Second Thessalonians, First and Second Timothy. There's four books that start with T. You ought to be able to find that book. First Timothy chapter 2. You there, say amen. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. We're talking about women coming to church, women in public worship, women, how they should be in church. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 say, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in what? Modest apparel. When we get in there, we're going to talk about how a woman ought to dress in the house of the Lord. We talk about her behavior, how she ought to dress to bring honor and glory to the Lord, not to her body. It should be to the Lord. Amen.
Preach it.
Now, you don't want me to preach this morning.
Preach it.
With shame, look at this, shamefulness and sobriety, not with broad hair. That's not talking about braided hair. Don't have anything to do with that. That was talking about when they took the enemy and they took the hair from these women. But this is coming to church or gold or pearls, or costly array. You don't come to church to show off your brand new earring. You don't come to church to show off your brand new jewelry. You come to church to praise the Lord. Amen? You come to church modesty. Oh, you're not hearing me this morning. Verse 10. But which becomes women professing what?
Godliness.
Godliness with good works. Deuteronomy 22:5 said, a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man, neither shall a man put on a woman garment, for all that do are an abomination unto the Lord. Now I know back then they wore, men and women wore basically skirts, but we're talking about coming into the house of the Lord. We're talking about how you need to praise the Lord. In Luke 8:27, we're talking about the demonic of Gadarius. It said there was a man that ran around the graveyard that wore no clothes. If you come to church without your clothes on, women, you got demons. That's what the Bible says. You need to cover up when you come to the house of God. We don't need to see your cleavage. We don't need to see your big thighs. We don't need to see that. Preaching the word of God this morning. I'm just going to preach. I don't know about you, but I'm just going to preach the word, okay? Genesis 3:21. And Adam and Eve were naked. And then they ate from the tree of good and knowledge and evil. And the Bible says in Genesis 3:21 that unto Adam also and to his wife did God, the Lord God, make coats of skin and clothe them and sanctify them. Now let me just help you out. I believe when God, and God was the first seamstress, by the way, I believe when God sewed some clothes on Adam, I believe God put Adam on a nice pair of pants and a shirt and had him looking decent. I believe when he sewed some for Eve, I believe he put on her a nice blouse and a nice skirt and made her look like a woman and made Adam look like a man. I don't believe God gave Eve a hoochie skirt. I don't believe God made Eve some hot pants. Oh, you don't want me to preach this morning. I'm talking about these hot pants, these shorts that they wear. Matter of fact, this woman had on some shorts that was so revealing, they gave her a ticket for indecent exposure. Let me preach this morning. Title of my message this morning is, there's a battle for your body. The devil is out to get your body. Yeah, you say I'm saved, but then dress like you're saved. Amen. You saved, then dress like you're saved. Don't come here dressing like somebody walking the streets. We'll get into that this morning as I talk about the message this morning. Would you bow your heads in a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another day you have made. We'll rejoice and be glad in. Lord, I know I grew up in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. And I know it's a new generation. But Lord, we've lost some things. We need to get back to the old landmark. We need to get back to a woman dressing, carrying herself like a virtuous woman. A woman that's decent. A woman that's got respect. We don't need these women revealing and showing everything about her body. We need to come to the house of the Lord. Dress to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Lord, thank you for our Sunday school training this morning. Thank you for our Sunday school. Thank you for our corporate prayer with the pastor as he prayed out a prayer for the congregation. Thank you for our praise song with Javon. Thank you for the men ensemble. Lord, it was a blessing. But we know that the song was to get our hearts ready for this word. Now, Lord, it's time for the preaching ceremony. I'm not sufficient in myself. So, Lord, I pray that you speak to me as I talk to your people, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. For it's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Let every heart say amen. Now, first of all, I don't want to be a Pharisee. Because, you know, Pharisees are not fair, you know. They got all these legal. I don't want to be a legalistic person. I don't want you to do it because the preacher said. I want you to do it because the Holy Spirit said. I think the church ought to have standards. I think the scripture has standards. I don't think we need to, I think we don't let our girls go haywire. I mean, today, you can get on the internet and every girl on there done exposed herself. In a bikini, or you ain't got on nothing, ain't got a cover, holding on. So it's pitiful. But the sad part is we're bringing that mess into the church. Church ought to be a place, ought to be holy, righteous, godliness in the house of God. I just got 3 points to you. I'm going to give them to you today. The key word is liberty. God gives a liberty, not lasciviousness. Liberty is, Webster defined, is the freedom, the privilege, the unrestricted, an action that's dealing with etiquette and decorum. You know, God gives you freedom to dress. I can't tell you how long the way you dress, but I can tell you if the Holy Spirit is convicting you that your dress too short, then put on a longer dress. If your pants are so tight that you can't even get your hand in the pocket, Something wrong. Something wrong. Romans 14:16 says, let not then your good be even spoken of. Freedom is measured by its boundaries. I'm not trying to put you back under yoke or bondage. Romans 11:6 said, and if by grace, then there's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more works. So what I'm saying to you, there ought to be a balance in the church. Now, you dressing don't get you any closer to God. You already saved. You know, people say, well, I need to dress like a sanctified woman. Well, wait a minute. Long, thick stockings, your hair tied up, don't make you no closer to the Lord. What makes you closer is your heart. But your heart ought to tell your outside how to dress. Ephesians 1:6 says, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Now, I can understand a lost person just coming to church. I can understand, I witnessed to a lady who don't know how to dress. She don't know anything about the Lord. I can understand she coming here with hot pants on, and she coming here with a halter top on. She coming here with fishnet stockings on. She coming here with these hippity-hop high heels like the NBA ball players. I can understand a lost person. I can understand somebody don't know no better. I can understand, like Jane Brown said, hot pants running people in ditches. But not a Christian. Not somebody to say they saved. Not somebody want to glorify the Lord. I can't understand that. Now, here's my other point. If that's all you have, then I understand that. But it blows my mind that when we go to the concerts, or we go to the debutante ball, or we go to the prom, or we go to the interview, we dress up. Amen? I mean, we look fabulous. We have on these long gowns flowing in the wind. Then we come to church with fig leaves on. Something wrong. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some things I die for. I die for this word of God. I die for the Holy Spirit and the inspiration of the word of God. I die for the virgin birth. I die for the resurrection of Christ, for all these Christian doctrines. But these other things about how a woman ought to dress, now I ain't going to die over that, but I'll fuss over it. I'll tell my daughter, no, you can't wear that. No, it's too revealing. Daddy, you old phobia. You old fashioned. Everybody dress like that. No, everybody don't dress like that. There are some people that cover up and carry themselves in a way to bring honor and glory to the Lord. The old preacher used to say this: if you show it, you share it. Oh, let that sink in. If you show it, you share it. Everything that's precious is covered up in the world. You have to dig deep for gold. You have to dig deep for silver. Let me say this to young girls: you're precious. Cover up. I preached this message when I was in Montgomery, Alabama, and I told them this. Everybody looked at me kind of all frog-eyed. I said, you know, my wife lets me look at her outfit before she leave to go out to church or go to work, because if I can see through it, then somebody else can see through it. Right. Amen, preacher. Amen. My wife will turn around, and by the way, you shouldn't have any problem with that. I can look at my wife's butt, okay? She turned around and she said, what do you think? I said, well, I think that may be a little bit too tight. You need to, you know, put on something a little bit more, you know, put on some up under that, or put on something a little bit cover up, or you need to not show any panty lines or whatever. Amen. Preacher! If I can see it, I'm a husband. If I can see it, some other man can see it. Hello, somebody. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a time for everything. I was talking about Jennifer was coaching the Howard girls track team. Now, I understand, you know, LaQuisha Jackson, she broke all the, I understand you got to wear a certain type of track outfit. I understand that. I understand when you're working. My wife work at the hospital. She have to wear marks. I understand that. But then when you come to the house of the Lord, you ought to come to bring honor and glory to the Lord.
Amen.
When somebody looked at you and they attracted to you and not Jesus, that's a problem. That's a problem. Now, don't get me wrong. God made beautiful women. But they beauty ought to glorify the Lord. You ought to see Jesus in them. You ought to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Our first point, was I already said, was that the key is liberty, not lasciviousness. What about the other changes in society? There's a lot of things that Lester Roloff and Jack Hives and Bob Jones and Lee Robinson and Jay Harris, a lot of things that they preached on in the 50s that I believe we have to change a little bit. One of the things that they preached on was turn to Psalms 101. Psalms 101. You ought to know what Psalms is, kind of in the middle of your Bible. Psalms 101. You there? Get that? Say amen. Still hear a lot of pages turning. Psalm 101. You there? Say amen.
Amen.
Psalm 101 verse 3 says, I will set, know what? Wicked thing before my eyes. Now what they preached that was the TV. They say, you see that? These what these men in the 50 preach. It said, I will set no wicked thing before me. You ought to cut that TV. Now, let me just tell you. A TV has a knob or it has a remote on it. You can control the remote. Now, I'm not saying the TV is evil. The TV is immoral. But if you're watching some filth, then you need to cut it off. Or if I was to kind of fast forward today, it's called the internet. You need to know how to down click and cut off and close out mess that's garbage. Now, there's nothing wrong. The internet and the TV can be used for good purposes. Matter of fact, this morning, every morning I get up on Sunday morning, I cut on the TV. You might not like this, but, you know, nevertheless, I listen to Hagee, big old preacher, big old boy, be preaching up there, and he be preaching. I listen to him. I know I don't agree with everything, but I watch the TV when he's preaching. The TV can be used for good things. But I'm sad to say, most so-called Christian watching BET, MTV, Playboy Channel, all that built Cinemax, Showtime is of the devil. The Bible says, I will put no evil thing before me. So them preachers preach against TV altogether. I'm not saying the TV is bad. It's the person who's controlling the TV. Oh, you ain't going to amen me that? It used to be a time where they wouldn't even show sex scenes and kissing and cussing on regular time because children would get out of school. That's gone now. It could be 3 o'clock in the evening and they'll cuss like a sailor. They'll get in the bed with somebody else's wife. They'll get naked on TV. NBC, ABC, CBS, whatever you want to call it. It's filthy. But let me help you out. There's nothing wrong with the box, so to speak. It's the person controlling the knob. Another thing they said in the 60s, they said, well, it's wrong to cut your grass on Sunday, or it's wrong to work on Sunday, or it's wrong to eat out on Sunday, you know, because you shouldn't be. Let me just say now, some of that has changed. There are certain jobs that require you to work on Sunday. You know, we got emergency job, we got hospital job, we got power company, you know, so you have to change that a little bit. And then if it didn't rain all week and I ain't been able to cut my grass after Sunday morning, I go and cut my grass, but I still went to church. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? So let's not get too legalistic. And then buying gas or grocery from where a place where they sell beer, or eating at a restaurant where they have a bar. Let me just tell you almost have to go out of the world because everybody got it now, okay? Go to Bylaws, they got beer. Go to the restaurant, they got a bar. These preachers say, it's hell, it's the pits of hell, it's abomination. Well, it's sorry today. It ain't nobody, unless you're going to drive all the way to every Walmart or go all the way to all the places, but most of the places sell beer, sell liquor. So you have to learn how to discern. Oh, yeah, let you know what I'm talking about. They have those smut magazines in a lot of those places. They used to have them up front, but now they have them behind the counter. So you have to ask for them. Oh, yeah, you don't know what I'm talking about. Jesus said that you may be in the world, but you're not of the world. Amen. So we need to understand that. I'm not going to change this world. This world is on a roller coaster to hell. This world is getting wicked and wicked. They're going to have all kind of mess coming in on the TV. I need to learn how to cut the knob off. They're going to have all kind of mess going on when I go to the restaurant. I need to learn how to get on my section. When I go places, they're going to have all kind of stuff going at the hotel. When I get checked in the hotel, I told you I was in Atlanta. And I told you I was at a Bible conference. And I'm telling you, I was just carrying my Bible. And a young lady just asked me, how was church? How was church? What? How'd you know I went to church? Oh, I figured that was a Bible. I'm telling you. So we got to be careful of what we do. There's a lot of things that are moral. They're neither right nor wrong, but you got to choose. But it's something that never change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's something that never change. Now they've changed this thing about this culture with the church today. We have what we call the emerging church. We have where they throw it out the pulpit. We have where they have a bar stool. The preacher comes to church. He sits in some blue jeans and a t-shirt, and he wear tennis shoes to church, and the people in the church, they wear anything they want to. They say, come as you are. They wear flip-flops. They wear Hachimama pants. They wear all kind of stuff. They come. Let me just tell you, we need to go back to the old cross. We need to go back to God's house. It's a house of reverence. God's house is a house of respect. We need to go back to you wear your best clothes to church. You dress up for the man. You dress up in the house of God. We need to go back. Now just help me out real quick. How in the world I'm going to be focused on the Lord when some girl walking the aisle with her legs all miniskirt, legs. And my mind is going to be focused on the Lord. Ain't no way. My Lord going to be focused on what? So I need to get back to where I do not draw attention to myself. Hello? Shouldn't be drawing no attention to myself. And then my last point, and I'm out of here. With all said, God is still more concerned with your attitude than when you come to the house of God. So some of you might get mad at this message this morning. You might say, preacher, you talking to me. No, I'm not talking to you, but the Holy Spirit is. Yeah. If you've been dressing kind of skimpy, and you've been dressing kind of revealing, yeah, I'm talking to you. And the Bible says, in Deuteronomy 25, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says it's an abomination. An abomination to the Lord. There's a few things in the scripture I'm going to show you that's an abomination. You know what abomination is? It brings stink to the nostrils of God. When God in heaven sits on his throne and he's waiting on you to come to church, and you come to church dressed like a slut, dressed like a prostitute, dressed revealing, it stinks to God. Let me park right here real quick. There's some men don't know how to dress either. Man, you don't come to the house of God to draw attention to yourself. There's some men wear tight pants. Oh, y'all, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? There's some men wear chest open. You know how they don't button them two buttons up there? Or let me get me a rope, a chain. Get me a Rolex. Get me some diamonds. Get me a pair of sunglasses. And let me just tell you, God don't need you pimping the church. God don't need that. You need to come to church to bring honor and glory to the Lord. You don't come to church to catch nothing. If you ought to catch it, it ought to be the Holy Spirit. You don't come to church to be, oh, I'm fly. Oh, I'm cool. Oh, I'm down with it. Oh, I got it going on. You ain't got nothing going on. Turn to Proverbs. I'm going to walk you through Proverbs. Show you a couple of things that's an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 12. I have to give you the message that God tell me to give. We've lost a lot in our culture. We need to get back. Proverbs chapter 12. You there? Say amen.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 12. Look at verse 22. There's a few things that the Bible says when a woman or a man put on their clothes and it's abominable. But look what it says in Proverbs 12, 22. Lying lips are what? Not only does God hate when you dress, he hates when you're lying. So God said, this is abomination. This over and above. God said, this, I hate it. When you lie, lie, lie. You're a habitual liar. God says, abomination to me. Tell the truth sometime, would you? Let me just throw this out since God gave it to me. You young people, you ain't got to keep lying to your parents about where you at night. Tell the truth. Well, you know, I'm over here with my friend. Oh, you don't know that friend. All I'm over. Lying! Tell the truth. The mall closed at what? 9? How you at the mall at 2 o'clock in the morning? I went to the mall 5 hours ago. That ain't gonna get it. Lying lips! Lying! Lie about this, and let me just tell you about a lie. Did you know when you tell a lie and somebody asks you, you have to tell another lie to cover up that lie? The thing about lies is that you keep getting liar and liar, and that's how come they can find out truth. That's how come you go to the that lie just came out. That's an abomination to the Lord. Brother Richard preached on it, but I'm going to show it to you again. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. You get that? Say amen.
Amen.
Verse 16. Now, Richard preached on it, but I give it to you again. These 6 things does the Lord hate. Yea, 7 is an abomination unto him. He already preached a proud look, lying tongues, hand that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that swift to run to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and here's that one that God hates. And he or she that sows what? Didn't hear you. That sows what? Every time you show up, you bring some mess into the problem. Every church is a problem over here. Such and such a said what? Well, what's the name got a problem with this? Well, what's her name said this? Well, Pastor Sutton says don't like this. And what's her name don't like this? And this right this. Every time you show up, it's discord. Well, we don't need to do this. And we don't need to do that. Well, we never done this. Or why can't we do this? Why don't you just say, whatever God want to do, I'm with you. Whatever God put on your heart, I'm for you. I'm praying for you, Pastor. I'm praying for your leaders. I'm praying for your church. I'm praying for your daddy. I'm praying for your mama. I want to be a help. I want to help this home. I want to help this church. I want to help this community. I want to be a blessing. Bring abomination in the home. Bring abomination in the church. Every time you're sowing discord. Every time somebody says something, you're not with debt. I'm not with debt. I'm not with debt. And the word is that, not that. Deuteronomy 25, a woman wearing a man's clothing. Now, I told you they wore skirts, but it didn't say a man putting on a woman's garment. Or an abomination. Let me help you out with what he's talking about. He's talking about cross-dressing. He's talking about a transvestite. Drag queen. You gotta let you all know what I'm talking about. Talking about a woman that looks like a man. She done cut off all her hair. She, you don't even know. She probably got on some type of girdle or something to hold her breath bell down. She wearing pants, look like a man, and when you see her, you won't know it's a woman. It's concealed. One of my buddies was in the military. He was a major. He said he stood up one time and looked out a whole company of men. He said he stood up and said, "Men, I just want to thank y'all for the service that you did to the military." And a guy pulled their coat and said, "There's two or three women out there." Yeah, you can't tell them. They got their hair cut like men. They look like these straight up cross. They look straight. You can't tell the difference. We need to get back to the basics. Men all look like men. Women all look like women. Is that right? Everybody all look alike. I mean, look distinct. When God made clothes for Adam and when God made clothes for Eve, they were distinct. Everybody knew Eve was a woman. Everybody knew that. Everybody knew Eve was a woman. Everybody knew that Adam was a man. God hates. He hates any type of cross dressing, any type of cover up, any type of concealing, any type of hiding. God is wanting us to be truth. God loves truth. God wants people to be saved. God wants this country to change. This country is on a roller coaster to hell. We need to get back to doing things that bring honor and glory to the Lord. Amen. And again, my points again, 3 points today was again, number one, God is not into liberty. I mean, God is into liberty, not lasciviousness. What about the change in our society today? There are some things that never change. Jesus Christ never changed. We need to go back to the way it was. And then God is more concerned with my attitude and the way I come to church. If you remember when I preached on this 2 Sundays ago, when Samuel went down to anoint David, they was looking at David's brothers. And Samuel said, "This is the one." And God said, I haven't chosen him. But this is what God said. God said this. God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. And if I can close with this. God loves people.
Amen.
He loves the sinner. He just hates the sin. He loves the homosexual. He just hates what they're doing. He loves the lesbian. He just hates what they're doing. So if you got the message wrong, let me just preach it to you right. God loves you. He wants the best for you. And what he's calling to do is for you to get right with the Lord. Would you bow your heads? Need everyone to stand with your head bowed, eyes closed. I know this was a hard message, but I can only preach the message God tell me to preach. Our society have lost it. We have gone away from the things of God. We need to get back to being and doing what God called us to do. God called us to be soldiers. God called us to be sojourners. God called us to be pilgrims in this battle for the soul of man.